We're speaking with Mike Ewall of Energy Justice Network. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So there is a project in Rensselaer called BioHighTech that is planning to move forward without a CEQA review. Can you tell us about the project, Mike?
Sure. So this is a type of project that basically would be turning trash into essentially a pellet or some kind of product that is fuel for burning in cement plants. They used to call this refuse derived fuel, but now they have fancier names for it, like processed engineered fuel, or what are they calling it now? Solid refuse? Or
they're calling it a regenerating landfill.
Oh, I God, believe. That's totally wrong. That's nothing to do with that. I guess they mean regenerating because it can't fill up like a landfill can. It's just that they're filling up the air in communities like the ones in Pennsylvania where they plan to ship these trash pellets to burn. So that's not better than a landfill. It's actually far worse. They're just spreading the pollution around into people's lungs.
Can you tell us anything about the company that is moving forward with this project?
Well, there are a few different company names that have been thrown around. So one of them is the typical, we'll form an LLC with a local name on it that has no history type of thing. And that's the one with Rensselaer in its name. And I don't think they have any history. Usually they just get some folks together and file, and then you can't find any background on the company. The BioHighTech themselves, I haven't heard of before either. Might have a little bit of a history, but first time I've heard hearing about them is here. But they seem to be somehow related to Ensorga, which is a company from Europe that has set up a plant in Martinsburg, West Virginia. And I was at the groundbreaking for that plant. And what they're doing there is they're taking trash. They're using some kind of composting-ish process for part of it. And before that, they'll pull out things that don't burn well, like metal and glass. They typically do that. But the stuff that's recyclable or compostable is this, the rest of it, like the paper, plastic, food scraps, all of that stuff that can burn. They're not trying to recycle that at all. They just basically turn that into a pellet and then ship it, in the West Virginia case, to a cement plant in the same area and burn it instead of coal. Now, you might think that's an okay idea if it were a cleaner fuel than coal. But it's not. Trash is far dirtier than coal to burn. But they get through this regulatory loophole of EPA by arguing that it's cleaner than coal. And trash incinerator regulations, which are not strong enough in the first place, but they don't even apply in this situation because they're not regulated as a trash incinerator. And cement kilns are becoming the dumping ground for all sorts of waste. That's why we saw this issue that first brought me to work in Albany County a few years ago when Connecticut trash was targeting possibly being burned in the cement kiln that Lafarge has in Ravenna. And we stopped that within a couple weeks of local officials that I notified coming out against it and people opposing it. And then that cement plant decided they wanted to burn tires. And we fought that for 2 years and we got a local law passed that bans any of that stuff from being burned. And then, of course, Republicans took over the town and they don't want to enforce this. So there's still this possibility that any of the waste that is processed by BioHighTech in Rensselaer could just go straight across the river and get burned in Lafarge. But they're saying they have no intent to do that at all and that they plan on shipping it all the way down to the Lehigh Valley of Pennsylvania to burn in two of the five cement kilns there.
But they just held an environmental justice meeting with citizens from Rensselaer, and they didn't actually make a solid promise that they wouldn't send it to Lafarge. Is that correct?
That's correct. They basically said, never say never, but we don't have any plans. We don't have any intent to do that currently. Of course, they could quickly develop plans to do that. And we know that Lafarge has every intent to burn waste of any sort because they'd rather get paid to take waste than pay to buy coal to burn or even pay to switch to buying natural gas to burn, which would be the least dangerous of things you can burn, but still not great. But trash is the most dangerous, and they would rather get paid instead of paying for their fuel. And we know Lafarge is also in Missouri right now. I just got off a call a couple of days ago with people in St. Louis that I've been working with, because the very same process is proposed by another company that wants to burn St. Louis area's trash in one of a couple Lafarge cement kilns in the area there. So we know that this is something that this company is making a move toward, and that the town of Queemans is now run by people who are very aligned business-wise with Lafarge. And so they're going to allow that to happen unless the county legislature can stop it.
So for those that aren't familiar with this bio-high-tech project, it's located in the city of Rensselaer, but it's just across the river from the Lafarge cement plant in Albany, correct?
That's correct. And so economically, it would make the most sense for them to send it right across the river. And if not there, there's a cement kiln also trying to burn waste not too far north of you in Glens Falls, Lehigh Hansen Cement Company. They've been trying to burn Raggertail, which I never heard of until this situation. But when we recycle our cardboard boxes in particular, there's often a lot of tape connected to them, staples in them. That stuff, when it hits a paper mill, gets pulled off, and you have this waste stream that's full of tape and staples and other contaminants that is called Raggertail, and that's what they want to start burning, or maybe already have started burning at that cement kiln. So again, not too far from you in the Lehigh Valley, if somehow it doesn't go straight across the river, it can go north about an hour and still get burned in the region without having to ship as far as Pennsylvania, like they're saying they will do.
There seems to be a pattern with cement kilns. Are these facilities really in the business of producing cement, or are they in the municipal waste removal and incineration business?
That's a really legitimate question, because we have some cement kilns that for decades now have been burning hazardous waste. There are two or three that have done that in Pennsylvania. Only one is still doing it, but that one that's still doing it, it was revealed in the late 80s, early 90s, I think, that they were making more money accepting hazardous waste than they were selling cement. So it really begs the question of this and companies like Norlite that are not making cement but aggregate and are burning hazardous waste, whether their revenue streams look similar and whether more of their business model is around burning waste than it is making their product.
I see an interconnection between regional environmental issues such as the cement plant and the issue that's going on in the Albany Pine Bush and the municipal waste issue, where we have so much municipal waste that we need to do something with it. So they burn it in these kilns to make cement. Well, that drives up the demand for cement, which then drives up the demand for development. Do you have an opinion on that, Mike?
I'm not sure it drives up the demand for cement, but it definitely makes the cement making process dirtier and pollutes the communities around these cement kilns even worse than they're already experiencing. And these are already some of the biggest polluters that we have. Even after the big modernization they did at Lafarge in 2017, they spent many millions of dollars upgrading their facility because they were forced to, because they're so polluting that EPA had an agreement with them there and other places around the country to not be such a filthy, not such filthy facilities. And so they spent all this money. And then I looked at the numbers from the state for 2018 and saw that they're still number one or close to it in many different pollutants in the whole state, out of hundreds of over 1,000 actually different air polluting facilities in the state. And even with all this fancy new pollution control equipment, they're still one of the biggest air polluters in the entire state.
Talking about Lafarge?
Lafarge, yeah. So there's nothing clean about them. I mean, in Pennsylvania, which is one of the plants where BioHitech's trash pellets would go, is also to a Lafarge facility that's currently burning tires. And they are the largest air polluter in that county already.
So as far as the siting of the proposed BioHitech, The city of Rensselaer was the lead agency when it was approved by the previous city administration, and it was approved with a negative declaration, which meant that they determined it did not need a comprehensive environmental review. So now they are moving forward with the environmental justice portion of the project. And can you describe some of the environmental justice issues where the site is located?
Sure. So there is a general trend where toxic and dangerous facilities tend to be located in communities where they impact people of color more than you would find if they were equitably distributed. So it's not always that people of color are a majority. You have a lot of situations where on the average, it might be about 55% white, but the average white population in this country is actually 64%. So on average, it's hitting people of color more. So it ties into all the I can't breathe messaging from Black Lives Matter that we're seeing in other communities we're working with. We're seeing people tie in those kinds of messages because communities like one I'm working on right now is in Camden, New Jersey, where they have sky high asthma rates and a trash incinerator that is the biggest air polluter, not just in their city, but the whole county. And so Black leaders working on fighting that there are seeing a very big connection between I can't breathe as a police brutality issue and as a literal issue for all the people suffering from asthma. But in Rensselaer, it's a mostly white community. It's lower income than usual. There is public housing within, I think, half a mile of it. So there is a bit of a racial impact more I would expect there. But overall, when I looked at the numbers on it, I don't have them in front of me right now, but it's not like it's a community of color we're talking about. It's not as stark of an environmental justice, whether by race or class issue that you would normally find in other cases, but there is a bit of that going on with the public housing and with lower income residents.
But not just for the humans that live there, the site is on a former, well, it's a current hazardous waste landfill directly on the Hudson River that's contaminated with BASF.
Right, and environmental justice is about humans that are impacted, but those humans that are impacted in the area already, regardless of their demographics, you're right, they're already impacted by existing pollution sources that are being concentrated in one place. And that's a trend that we see, is that once you have a toxic waste site, once you have one incinerator or other kind of waste facility, they tend to concentrate in the same places. So even if it's the toxic waste site you have and then biohightech coming, it becomes a magnet for other noxious industries coming there next too.